Let's get to Ed Rogers, CEO and CIO at Rogers Investment Advisors. Well, I do want to talk to you about Japan as an investment destination compared to China, but I think we need to talk about the BOJ first and implications. The BOJ, I suppose we could expect some warnings if a change was coming, and it seems like every economist that we talk to does not expect much of a change in policy today. Are there some tweaks, though, that we should look out for?
Good morning, Brian. Thanks, and Paul. Thanks for having me back on the show. It is, well, again, everybody's pretty well telegraphed on this. We don't expect any major changes. Even minor tweaks would be minor tweaks, to be perfectly honest. I think there's absolutely zero expectation that rates will rise. And there might be some tinkering with the curve management, but it's going to be pretty inconsequential stuff given the environment, the interest rate environment globally.
Is this how it's going to be until Haruhiko Kuroda's term ends?
Yes. I mean, in a word, it's you know, you guys cited, I think, in the recent piece, you know, inflation's real. You know, consumer prices are up. I can tell you that when you go and you buy your Starbucks coffee, it's and it's certainly up more than 3%. It's 15 to 20%. What the government really wants to have happen, what everyone is really very keen to see, is wage inflation that starts to make this all very much make sense. That's the, you know, this is the way we conquer 30 years of deflation. The inflation that we're getting, they're at a certain level, it's welcomed, frankly, because we are fighting 30 years of deflation. But the real inflation that they want hasn't happened yet, and that is in the wage space.
Let's talk a little bit about investing in Japan versus investing in China. And maybe I just use as a sort of microcosm story Caterpillar, because Japan has a lot of these big machinery and earth-moving types of companies. Very good earnings from Caterpillar because they had not only organic growth, but they had pricing power. Are we seeing the same with companies like Komatsu and Hitachi Construction?
Yeah, look, it is weird if fascinating moment in time right now with dollar yen in the, you know, 145-150 range. Japan is simply on sale. There's no other way of putting it. And if you consider the long term, you know, 2 to 3 year outlook for Japanese interest rates, it's impossible to think that this zero interest rate policy continues forever. Does it continue through BOJ Governor Kuroda's term? Almost certainly, you know, into next year. After that, there's a lot more room for questioning where it goes. Right now, we have clients, even in our own Japan fund, who are switching from U.S. dollar share class simply into the yen share class so that they could potentially benefit, you know, 6 to 24 months down the road when dollar yen goes back to 110, 120. Mm. There's the FX moves now are real, and they're impactful on your investment positioning. Japan's on sale, and you should take advantage of the fact. That's the simplest answer on that.
So if Japan's on sale, what do you buy? Anything specific?
Well, you'd want to buy something that has, you know, current income yield. Real estate, there's enormous amounts of activity. Real estate, particularly in the hospitality space, you know, stuff that generates income. I think it's probably a similar situation in the United States, quite frankly. You know, do you want to be a homeowner or a home buyer right now, or do you want to have a property that you can rent out? We see this as somewhat of a zero-sum game, by the way. With every day, every week, every month that China gets less attractive, Japan gets more attractive across the board. Why is that? Because these are the second and third largest economies in the world. You know, China at $14 trillion or thereabouts, Japan at $5 trillion U.S. dollars or thereabouts. If you have large numbers amount of assets to deploy, you still can't go. You know, if you're a U.S. investor with significant, you know, billions of dollars to spend, as Warren Buffett famously noted a couple of years ago when he invested in Japanese trading houses, there aren't that many places in the world to go and put $10 billion. Well, guess what? Japan is, as you know, the United States' major ally in Asia, as politically, you know, a capitalist and secure democracy as you can find in this part of the world. It's also a safe place to put $10 billion. There's enormous opportunity for investments.
Let's talk about a little of the downside that could happen with the rise in rates in Japan. You know, like you said, we're not expecting any real adjustment in yield curve control, and certainly not to just let it go. You know, we talked about maybe edging up to 50 basis points or perhaps something in between. But I think a lot of people are thinking about what happens if at some point inflation gets very powerful in Japan and the authorities start to let yields rise, and they talk about, you know, the earthquake that could happen. Walk us through it.
Well, there could be real pain. I think one has to consider the significant amount of JGB holdings within the domestic ecosystem, and if rates rise and you have a real mark-to-market change in the value of those JGBs, that would also be very impactful for certain investors who are very long JGBs. That's not an insignificant concern, I think, for the BOJ who's watching.
If, for instance, a lot of people borrowed money in yen because it was cheap and yields were low, and then all of a sudden rates started to go up, there would be a massive repatriation and buying of the yen, would there not be? And that could be like also a pretty vicious move.
I you know, kind of it depends on the terms. I mean, is it fixed or is it floating? And, you know, what have you done with the money that you borrowed? And, you know, what are the yields? My knee-jerk reaction is yes, completely agree with you. My further response is it's a bit more nuanced. It kind of depends on what you do with the money. I mean, we've sent, you know, yen carry trades going back, you know, 30, 40 years in various ways. So, to what extent is that now a very, you know, again, it's potentially risky, but also very attractive.
Just move on to some slightly firmer territory. And just the few seconds we have remaining, after the CHIP Act, is there a big opportunity here for Japan?
Absolutely. Again, it's a zero-sum game. China's going down, Japan's going up in the eyes of investors. Coincidental with China's current repositioning politically, shall we say, regionally and in the global sense, this is creating enormous opportunities for U.S. Japan to establish a firmer bilateral asset management relationship and joint development across many energy and financial security opportunities.
Ed, thanks very much for being with us. Always a pleasure. Always learn something from you. Ed Rogers, CEO and CIO at Rogers Investment Advisors.